Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that change lives forever. Hello, my friends. I am here with my friend Corey, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
We have known each other. I was trying to think about this before we started recording. I think 2008?
It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't know a year actually, but we'll go with 2008.
I think it was 2008, and it was almost 2009 because I think I met you on New Year's Eve at a friend's place. Like, we went out and then we had like a New Year's Eve party at a friend's place. And I think that's where we actually met.
Was it, or was it a dinner? I feel like it was a dinner.
It was a dinner that turned into New Year's Eve.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Man.
So that's at least with my 41-year-old brain, that's what I'm remembering. So it's been a long time. And since then, we've gone to adult summer camp together and cruise. So we've run the crazy times.
I know. It's been a while, man. Like, you're 41, I'm 39. I'm about to hit the 40. But yeah, time just keeps going, man.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, I appreciate you being on the Life Shift podcast. I think what's interesting about your story, which I'm not going to divulge, or I'm trying not to give away the secrets, but what's interesting is that I think your story will resonate with a lot of people that are maybe kind of feeling stuck in what they're doing on a regular basis. Maybe I gave away too much there, but I think it's interesting to have you here, in which I don't know your pivotal moment, but I know the beginning, the before and after. So before we get there, I think it's helpful to kind of set the scene of like, what was your life like before you made the shift that you're eventually going to talk about? What was life like for you?
I was working in law enforcement. I got to say, like, kind of how I got there in the first place, I guess I could say. And when I was, it really starts like in college. It was literally 9/11 that changed my direction and where I wanted to go. I was a freshman in college, and my dad was a law enforcement officer in Miami. And I always...
At the time?
Yes. Yes. And growing up, when I was growing up. So I always had thought like that was the direction I was going to go. Like, I had found like a third grade poster where it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's like, you know, everyone kind of writes it. So whatever their mom or dad did, you know? So I wrote like what my dad did, law enforcement. And so it was kind of like always in my head. But then like, as I, you know, got into high school, I realized my mom didn't want me to go in that direction. My dad, he was like, yeah, it's a good career if you want to go in that direction. And but I was really involved with computers, loved computers. My uncle showed me a way, like how to program. Like, and these are like, this is like before the internet computers. And I programmed in a language called QBasic that was standard in Microsoft operating system. So my uncle showed me how to get there, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so I had this idea when I wanted to get into computers. So I always had them both like in my head, but in college, I went to UCF and I went in for computer science my freshman year. And it was September, my freshman year, 9/11 happened. And I decided to shift to law enforcement from that because I just felt like that was my original calling. And I always wanted to follow that passion. But the computers always stuck with me in a sense. Like I always was doing, you know, in my free time, making programs, trying to learn it and stuff like that. And so it always stayed with me.
Did you switch your degree from computer science?
Yes, I switched it from computer science to criminal justice with a minor in computer science. So I switched the majors, but I minored in computer science because I was taking classes. So I did eventually get a minor. And I was out of college in 4 years. And luckily, I was lucky enough to get right into law enforcement. There was a couple moves where I was noticed because I had gone into this, I applied for this academy run by the state and I went up to Jacksonville to try out. I actually got accepted. They gave me like the congratulations letter, but they also lost their funding that year. But because of that, I was able to get into like a recruiter and got in with local law enforcement agency here in Orlando. And so I was lucky enough to get right into it, and it a great job. I enjoyed doing it like for a long time. Like I did it for 13 years.
You were in a special area too. Were you like working the street, were you?
Correct. Well, kind of. I was, so initially I was trained to be just like a road unit. Then I went into field training where I trained other officers when they came on. And then I went to a unit called Street Crimes where we had unmarks. We had uniforms, but we were in unmarks. And I kind of went, you know, throughout different areas of the sheriff's office. But I was kind of, I was feeling like I was kind of stuck in the same spot. And I had this feeling that I didn't want to move up, but I felt like I needed to move forward in some way. And I didn't know which way that was, whether that would be within law enforcement or not within law enforcement.
How many years were you into it by this point that you're kind of like start? Well, like at, how many years into it were you like, is this all I'm doing?
So it was probably 7 or 8 years into it that these thoughts of like, is this really what I want to do for 30 years? You know, I felt like the world was obviously changing in that there's so much to do out there. There's so much to experience and do out there that almost like staying in one place, it's kind of like I'm trapping myself into this one expertise. And don't get me wrong, like I enjoyed it a lot. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't boring.
Right.
We got to do some crazy different things. But at the same time, I felt like I was trading, especially when I was getting up there, I was really trading my safety for money.
You know what's interesting about law enforcement to me now that you're mentioning this, and I don't think I've ever thought about it before. I feel like it's one of the current careers, or like one of a few current careers in which it's very much like the olden days when someone starts in a job and then they retire from said job. Whereas our generation growing up, I think we're more inclined to kind of do a bunch of things. So it feels almost old fashioned in a way, like law enforcement, in a sense that people just start there and then they end there. Like, that's it. So you were probably feeling that, like, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Did your dad retire from it? Like at a.
Yeah, my dad retired from it. In the middle of his career, he actually became a fireman for a year. there's a lot of cops that went from being a cop to a fireman. But I think he was the only one who went from a cop to a fireman back to a cop. And I had asked him, and he said it was because it's like, well, it was like I felt more bored being a fireman. Like I didn't be able to go out and do as much stuff as I wanted to do. So that's why he went back. And so, you know, me, I was getting to that point where, yeah, even in private business, I mean, think of how much private business they used to have retirement within the business. And now that's kind of pretty much gone away. And government jobs are kind of the only jobs that have pensions still. And even them are kind of backing away from that and going towards more like investment accounts and stuff like that. So, absolutely.
So you were probably like 30 and going like, okay, is this what I'm doing for the rest of my life?
Yeah. Yeah. It was about there. And you said in the beginning, you were like, what was that pivotal moment? And it wasn't like, there was several like moments, I guess you could say. It wasn't just one. And like, even the first time I tried to leave, I failed. Like I didn't. That it was quite dramatic too. Like literally I was going to partner with another guy in web development, and I was going to help him build websites and stuff like that. And the day that I was supposed to leave the job, he called me up and he said that it wasn't going to work out. And I was kind of like, what? I'm like, I'm leaving today. And it was rough. Like, you know, I had to literally to keep my job. I had to petition the sheriff himself to sign something, which he did. Luckily, he was there that day.
I was just kidding. I'm not really leaving. It was a joke, guys.
I think people get it. You know, it's like they see what other people are trying to do. You know, I've seen there's a lot of cops that go out and, you know, there's a lack of personnel in law enforcement now, and I've heard I wasn't reached out, but some people were reached out to come back, like once they left, especially if they were, you know, didn't have anything on the record or anything, you know. The only thing that I got in trouble for was starting a business without informing them properly.
Interesting. Was there something that happened at work that was like, okay, this is the time for me to leave to do this business with that didn't end up working out? But was there something like, or was it just like always kind of you're working towards that first time, your first failed time?
that's kind of what I was getting at. I had made a web app where like it was kind of like a prototype to do like a regular app, where the idea was where you could donate to homeless people. Like, you know, you see people on the side of the road, like begging. And I had this idea. I was like, what happens if you want to give to them, but you're like on the other side of the road? So I had this idea of like them holding up like kind of like a hashtag or something, or a little link.
A QR code.
Where you could donate to them. I kind of posted it on Facebook once I created it, and a reporter from the news like reached out to me and wanted to do an interview. Yeah. So it ended up they came back to the sheriff's office because I literally had to like ask them for permission to do an interview with the news. So that's when it came forth that I like had a business. I didn't like properly notify them, but they, so I kind of got like paperwork on for doing that. And then that was kind of the moment where I was like, maybe, you know, having different ideas and trying to go forward with the ideas and then having my employer say no. That's kind of the turning point where I'm like, maybe I should go somewhere else where, you know, I could have this kind of stuff and start new ideas and go from there.
Yeah, because I feel like you've always, or since I've known you, it's you always have a new idea. Maybe not always, but there's right like, hey, I'm trying this now. And you're not someone that's afraid of trying something that you're not familiar with. Like, you're just like, this is really cool. I'm going to try it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I've learned. I think it was, don't quote me on this, but I think it was like Oprah or someone that said, the reason I'm here is because I failed more than you. So I get it, you know, and I was like, oh, they tried more. You know, when I was young, my mom had wanted me to go to gymnastics, and I did that for a while. And then I went into, and I call myself naturally shy, but I had to learn to be more extroverted. When I was in high school, my English teacher approached me to be a cheerleader for the high school because they compete, they do competitive co-ed cheerleading. And I was like, at first I said no. And then I thought about it and I eventually got into it. I never wanted attention brought to me, especially as a kid. That was kind of like the ultimate push into the spotlight.
Right. Yeah.
And so it ended up, I was pretty good at it. And then I got into scholarship for cheerleading. We competed, we won. You know, there was a lot of great things that I got out of that. That was kind of like my first big lesson of like, just get out there and who knows what you're good at, you know?
Right. What's interesting about cheerleading, and I can't believe that I actually forgot about that, because I feel like it's such a large portion of your like formative years. But what's interesting about like competitive cheerleading is that, unlike developing an app or something on the computer, like if you mess up, everyone sees it. Like your failure is on full display if there's a mistake or anything like that. And so going from an introverted type person to being like, I'm putting it all out there. Here it is. That's a big step.
Yeah. One year in college, like I got sick like the day before competition, and the competition is really intense because it's, you work pretty much a whole year to get to this point. And if you mess up, you know, you tumble in the rankings. If one person messes up, you tumble in the rankings, you know, and we're trying to win, of course, you know, and then on top of that, it's broadcasted on ESPN. So yeah, it's a lot of pressure. It's the lights are on you, literally. And one year, like it's like a stomach virus. And it was like the day before. And I don't know if it was from like the nerves or from I actually got like something. And I remember my coach coming to see me and she was like, just want to let you know a few things. You're going to be on the floor. Because it's like there's no turning back. And then she reassured me. She's like, you know, you could do it. And I was like, okay. And we actually had we actually did a really good job. Like, luckily I didn't mess up. I was on the floor two times at the collegiate level, and luckily I did great both times. But it was, you know, it was definitely a lot of life lessons in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that your experiences in competitive cheerleading helped you, like with your current projects and with wanting to venture out and those kind of things? Do you think it set up some qualities in you that were different from when you were growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because I didn't want to, you know, I kind of want to just walk the path. That was kind of, you know, what I'm supposed to do. That's where I'm going.
Like the rest of us.
Exactly. Like we all feel it, you know, we feel pressure from from society, from,
I think our generation, especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think hopefully the newer generations feel a little bit more inclined to kind of follow their passion and do whatever life is intending for them. Whereas when we were growing up, it was like, you got to do well here so that you can do well here so that you can get a good job, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it was like that with my parents. You know, they were pretty strict, and they kind of had that set. They were like, you know, you're going to go to college. And I'm like six. And I'm like, Okay. I don't really know what that means, but okay. You know, that was always the path. And I was a good at the time, like kind of like a follower, you know, I was like, okay, I keep my head down, do what I'm supposed to do and keep going. But yeah, doing and cheerleading, my parents were always very supportive of whatever I did, you know, and that was like a big test because I came home one day and I was like, decided to go into cheerleading. And like, it was kind of like a silence. And they were both like, okay, that's good. You know, it wasn't a big deal. And they signed off on it and they supported me, you know, and they came to all the competitions and my other family came out. So I had a lot of support there. So yeah. So to answer your question, after that, I was always kind of thinking, I'm like, does it have to be done this way? Can I go in a different direction? And then I always had to say, like, let's say I couldn't do this. Would I still be successful?
After that first trying to get out moment, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And I remember talking to somebody in college. It was kind of like this conversation. And she said to me, she was like, so far in my life, it's been going pretty well that, you know, I think I can do anything. And I just thought about that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, if you're, you know, I think we sometimes get in our heads and thinking like, oh, this is like the only way I could go. I'm not going to be able to do anything else. But once you believe, you really believe that, I think you want to start doing other things or looking at what else is out there, trying new things, you know? I mean, that's how I felt, you know?
Well, I've always kind of seen you as like, I mean, if this doesn't work out, so what? You know, like, yeah, there's always something absolutely else. Yeah. And I don't think that a lot of people feel that way. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, like you, were really into computers and whatever. And now they're like accountants and like still love computers, but are too afraid to kind of take that next step. So you mentioned you tried to get out. That was the first time you tried to get out. So
correct.
How many times did it take? Because, I mean, surprise, you're out.
So, of course, not law enforcement anymore. But yeah, so it was two times. And the second time was going to be like a dramatic shift. So I was going to do reserve, which I did, actually. And the plan was that, because at the end of the day, if you don't have money coming in, hopefully you have money saved.
Right.
Which I did. But also, you know, it's just money that's just getting, just leaving.
Right.
There's no
replenishment.
It's a free fall almost. It's kind of like you see, you know, it's a free fall. So I tried to mitigate that as much as possible. And I said, you know, what am I good at? What are people willing to pay me to do right now? You know? And so I went into reserves where I could do off-duty work still. There's a certain amount of times that you have to work, volunteer your time to work, but then you could do off-duty work. So then it's not such a free fall. Then I can have it still, it's not like the full amount, but it's still a check coming in. But it still gives me the freedom to do what I want. That was the mentality I had. That was the plan. I was like, oh yeah.
It's kind of like a buffer.
Correct. Oh, it'll give me so much more time to work on what I want to do and then do this as well. And at first I was going to rely more on doing that, you know, the reserve work, because that, you know, I could get a lot more money that way. But then I kind of stayed there. And I would just work there and I kind of find myself in another rut. So it's kind of like I pivoted and then you kind of get another rut. Then you got to keep then I pivoted again. So I found a friend of mine was working for this company that they worked with software. They created software for law enforcement companies. And he had mentioned it before, and then I had met him again when I was in this position. And he's like, what are you doing now? And I told him, and you know, I was like, with the intention of, you know, running my own business one day. And so he's like, you know, we need somebody like you in our job. And I was like, oh yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, do you mind if like talking to my boss? Cause we're a small company. We're only like 10 people and we need somebody like you who knows law enforcement and software. So I ended up talking to the CEO. They were like this national company that provides software to law enforcement agencies across the country. Ended up, he like hired me on the spot. He's like, because I told him my background, training software, and I used to train law enforcement officers. So he hired me right on the spot in a sales position, though. And you know, it's funny. It's like that was I realized how much that mattered in starting your own business too. And that was really one of the keys that I was missing to do what I want to do, because I knew how to do it. I knew how to provide the service, but I didn't know sales and marketing. So that was another pivot. So it was kind of like, it's not kind of like this just 90-degree turn. It's like kind of like, okay, let's go in this direction. And you go in a slightly different and then pivot again and then
little
pivot
steps.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, you're taking your steps to get to that eventual level that you want to be on.
Correct. Yeah. And it was great. It was super valuable. I learned sales. Like the guy, my boss, he was in sales for years. And he told me like all the lingo and stuff, which is important. You know, that's important because I think words kind of help you see it and stuff. Like a lead versus a prospect versus a client. Like that was all new to me when I came in. You know, I was in public, I wasn't in private. So now I was in this, you know, private realm. And keep in mind, like at this time, I created my company back in 2009, but that was not for the intention of leaving anything. That was just to do side work, just to get a few extra bucks on the side.
And just so everyone knows, like what was the intent of your company? Like what were you intending to offer? Or what do you offer?
Yeah, so my company was started by Marcelo and me. Marcelo is my longtime friend. I knew him since like middle school. Since the day I met him, he always wanted to be a film director. In order to get there, he had to do video work, like a lot of video work, video editing, video shooting. That's kind of that's what he was doing as his 9-to-5. So he was more graphics design video, and I was more web and actually audio. Like I love to mess around with audio as well on the side. So that was the intention. We had like this combination of things that we were both good at. He was more creative. I was logical. So it was, I feel like it's a good match because it's like stuff we're both missing with each other. And then, so we were able to do websites. People needed websites. And then just stuff on the side, videos, you know. And I was passionate about I loved creating software and stuff like that. So that's eventually where it led to for me creating websites for businesses, something now I do all the time and I love doing and I enjoy.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that that really that stems from that passion that you had as a kid, like learning QBasic on your computer that had, you know, maybe before dial up your MS-DOS coding.
I'll tell you this. Yeah, I'll tell you this about it. It's really funny because I thought I was really good at it. And literally, there was no internet. This is pre-internet. So in order to understand how the code was, everything, all the documentation was in, like, if you press F1, it's on like the help file.
Help.
Yep. That's where all it was. So I would be like reading all that. And I created like games. I created like simple, where the computer had almost like an artificial intelligence. It wasn't artificial intelligence, but it seemed like it to me. And I thought I was like awesome at this. I was like, wow, I'm incredible. Then the internet came out and I realized that you could download what other people have made. So I went on this website, I downloaded, and this kid was probably like, I think he was like younger than me. I ran his program and it rendered a picture of himself, which is like this is before you could download, you know, this is before we had digital cameras, really, before like we had scanners. And I was like, I realized, I'm like, I know nothing.
I know this much, but it probably made you want to learn more. I feel like that's probably absolutely kicked your butt. And what's interesting about your story is that, like, as a kid, you had, you know, this strong interest in computers, but then you also had your dad in law enforcement and an area that you felt like you wanted to go into. And it's now your life has been divvied up into, I did that, now I can focus on the other part that I was super passionate about. And how many people have these passions that they never pursue because they feel like they have to go the traditional route or the family route or whatever was intended for them that was written in the cards, if you will. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would talk to guys. There's some guys, you know, that were in law enforcement that are like, oh man, you know, I wish I could do something else. And so I'd ask him, I said, well, what can you do? Yeah. What is something that someone's going to pay you for besides this? And they're like, some people would be like, oh, I could do this, could do that. Some people were like, I kind of just dropped all my hobbies, you know, just focus on this. But now they're not happy, you know. It's important to keep up with stuff that you are passionate about, whether that is going to turn into a job or not. I feel like now, like, I have hobbies now that I do that I don't want to get paid for.
Because you don't want to hate them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and some could turn out that way. But some, like what I do now, building websites for businesses, in a sense, where I could do it all day long and I don't hate it, you know. It's just I enjoy it.
What makes you want to pursue that over the other hobbies that you enjoy just as much? Like, why web development?
A couple things. First, I feel like it's valued in this day and age, and so people will pay for it. That's one. And it's something that I'm passionate about. Like, for example, I do improv.
It's hard to make money in that.
Yeah. I mean, I like doing it just to like get away from things, but do I want to be an actor? No. I just enjoy doing it without having that. Because, you know, and there's some things I talk with this about my friend all the time where, you know, he teaches improv, and he's like, you know, if somebody were to pay me for this, I don't know if I'd like it so much. There's always that balance. And you never know kind of sometimes until it actually happens.
Do you think that you enjoy what you're doing more now because of the experience you had as a law enforcement officer?
Yes.
Do you think like having to go through that and realizing like, I don't know if I want to do this for the rest of my life, makes you like what you do now even more?
Yes. I had never liked the idea as an adult of telling another adult, like requesting for time off, asking for permission. Like, I feel like, I'm like, can we be over that already? Like, hey, I'm sick today. I'm just not coming in.
Right.
Like,
why are you sick?
Oh, you have to do a request. No, they don't even ask why. Like, they didn't ask why. They you could literally say that and they'll be like, okay, then everybody would be cool with it. But the form is called a request. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of like this, these undertones of, you know, we are controlling your life in a way. I never liked that. I never liked the idea of having to give away all my freedom for a little bit of money. You know, I felt like it's a bad, like, time.
Yeah. I'm only laughing or giggling over here because that was literally your job, was policing other people, and you yourself felt like you were being policed.
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, but aren't we all, like, aren't we all kind of like connected to our jobs in that way? Like, we kind of have to show up for work. So I never felt like that trapped feeling. And it's funny that you say that, like, the, as I be in law enforcement, I felt less like that I wanted to police other people. Like, I was in the job to help people, to try to protect people against, you know, people who are trying to do ill will to other people. That was kind of why I did it.
Well, that's noble of you to be in the protected side and not the bossy side. So,
but I'll tell you, it's an easy poison to drink.
Yeah, and we can see, I mean, I think that's a whole other thing, you know, a whole other conversation of how law enforcement is looked at by a lot of people, because they're, you know, the most publicized content out there is the negative side, right? Because we feed on that. And, you know, people like you that really were there to do better, to protect people and to do the job, really, instead of what we see highlighted.
Yeah, it's definitely, I have a deeper understanding of law enforcement than I ever did. And I tend to want to, I don't really want to delve into politics or anything like that, but stay more kind of in the middle than go off the deep end on one side or the other.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think there's a lot of that. What do you think, like, what made you confident enough? Like, was there a moment, like, you got a big job or something like that, that made you confident enough that you could say, okay, I am officially retiring, no more reserve, no more anything, and this is what I'm doing for myself right now? Was there like a moment or some kind of shift in what was happening?
Yeah. So that was kind of at the end of my job, because I had that job for a year after I was a reserve for a while I had the law enforcement software sales gig, I guess you could say. But then I left the reserve and I was just in that job. And then I realized I had the skills and I was missing skills in a way. So I was taking, I remember I took like an online course where there was a guy in Australia who his question was, well, how are you going to get clients? Right? How are you going to get clients? Because I could do the work, but I was missing the whole sales and marketing side. So when I started working for this company, one of my jobs was I had to get on sales calls and do this over Zoom. And it wasn't convincing people to buy the software. It was just convincing them to watch a demonstration of the software. And it was actually, it was more phone than video. But once I was able to walk in that space and understand that space better, then I was like, okay, I could do this not for somebody else, but I could do it for myself. You know, I'm grateful to have had that job, but it really propelled me to get to this space where I am now.
Yeah, it's like fate intervened in a way of like your friend was like, hey, talk to this person. And now your missing piece was kind of given to you, and that now you understand the sales funnel and how to get your prospects to be clients.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It wasn't like when I literally, for that job, I mean, I had told the CEO when I was beginning, I was like, hey, you know, I'm just here just to get to my business where I want to go. I was there for a year. I was like, I do not want to be stuck in a job again. And that was more dramatic in a sense where I woke up one day, I wrote a paragraph That was my 2 weeks notice, and sent it to him. And, you know, I left them on good terms.
Do you have any idea why that day?
Yes. I got a contract, and I had been doing this before as a side job, where I would go to cheerleading and dance competitions and do IT work for them, because they were mainly transitioning from doing scoring by hand to by computers. So they wanted someone with their new computers. Also, they wanted to implement a video system. Wasn't built by me, but built by somebody else. But I set it up, ran it, and put it away. You have to know some like technical skills in order to do that within IT, which I wasn't an IT guy, but I was able to do it. I learned as I went. And so the reason why I left then was I was going into that contract. So I knew I had a few months of doing that. Those jobs were over the weekend. And then during the weekday, I could focus more on my business. So that's why.
So you get that contract and you're like, all right, it's time. I put in my time.
Yeah, I'm good for a few months. Yeah, I'm good for a few months.
And you still had your buffer.
Still had a buffer. Yep. I still had savings, you know. And then the once that contract ended, that was like the hardest time, because then I really had to find clients.
What's your favorite part about being a business owner now and what you're doing at this day and age?
The freedom to work whenever you want to. Like for me, like for some people, it's not like they don't care. They're like, oh yeah, I love doing the 9 to 5, or it's not 9 to 5 anymore. It's like 8 to 5. but I slept in this morning, got up, took a shower, took it easy. And then I had the meeting with you. So like that, having that freedom of being able to delegate my own time for me is incredible. Like I love that. I love that. But I'll tell you this, it's a double-edged sword, because now you have, once you have the time, the next like mountain, which I always work on even to this day, is scheduling. And, you know, because I do have meetings that I have to be at certain times. I do have to do work. You realize how fast the day goes especially when you're doing something you like. You get in front of a computer, it's like, all right, yeah, it's like 10 a.m. And the next thing I know, I turn around, it's already 5. And I'm like, what did I even do today? But it's great, because it's all about, can you do it or not? Like if you drop the ball, then there's no money, you know? Whereas if you drop the ball at a job, your job might pay you. You'll still pay you. They may have a talker to you, but they'll still pay you. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, with this, if I drop the ball, I'm not getting paid. So it's a double-edged sword. It definitely is a double-edged sword, but I love it. Like personally, I prefer this way more over the guaranteed, I guess you could say, paycheck. But you know what? It's not guaranteed anymore. I feel like nowadays, like we said in the beginning, where, you know, it's not guaranteed that you're going to be able to wake up and just go to your job every day. There's not much loyalty anymore. You know, people leave companies drop people at a hat, right? You know, a split notice. So nothing's really guaranteed. I'd rather have skills that are valuable, that I could generate business on myself and have to rely on a job to do that.
Well, and how cool is it that people are paying you to do something that you enjoy doing and that you've been crafting for your entire life, really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's incredible. But they're all challenges, you know?
Yeah, what's the worst part?
So the past few months have really been picking up in business. All of a sudden, I'm getting so many yeses. I have a lot of work piling up. Scheduling, like I said before, like, you know, scheduling out when I'm going to do things, very crucial. And that's kind of the hardest part, is just balancing it all to make sure I'm, you know, giving quality, doing it on time, doing it when I say I'm going to be doing it, being realistic about my goals and when I could do it. Because you want to tell everybody, oh, I could do this tomorrow, I could do this today. And I could, if that's the only job. But and sometimes, you know, people are kind of unaware and they say, oh, well, this job would probably just take about like 2 hours, wouldn't it? And I why does it take you 5 days? Why is there, you have a 5-day timeline on it? I was like, well, I have other work that I have to schedule within that time as well. So yeah, it's definitely a balance. but I love it.
Because it's like you're being a business owner. Your only job is not just creating, right? You have to do all these other things that are not developing the websites and those kind of things. You actually have to be responsible with your time and get new clients and pay the bills and those kind of things. All the unfun things.
Yeah. And actually, most recently, you remember my sister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hired her part-time to help me with project management stuff right now.
Yeah. So. And I think that's important too, knowing what you are willing to do and knowing what you need to outsource to other people so that you can focus on the things that you like to do. I will finish this conversation with one last question. And I think it's helpful to people that are kind of in a job that they don't necessarily love. They can do it. It's fine. They're what you were. Like, why am I having to tell someone I'm sick and get approval to do that? But they have this passion project that they're always working on the side. And that's a thing. Do you have any advice to them as someone that was able to take something that they've always been passionate about to turn into a business?
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. You know, if you want to go the business route, like you want to create your own business, definitely make sure that there's enough volume and business out there on that topic or whatever, you know, you're looking to do. Take classes. Online classes are even great. Now, you don't have to, it depends, of course, on the field, but, you know, just taking an online class, paying for an online class and learning that, being skillful at that, and making a plan, really making a plan to how you're going to do it, saving money, always have, you know, money saved on the side just in case it doesn't work out. And there's nothing wrong with trying and failing too. Like I want to make sure I kind of put that, like, there's nothing wrong with leaving or taking a break from a job, especially if you're in high demand now anyway. If people are going to hire you and, you know, you could go, oh, I can get another job tomorrow with this company or whatever. Cool. And then you want to experiment. Like, experiment. Just make sure you have, you're secure in a way. I'm more cautious, I'd say, than most. And I feel now I'm more secure just having a way to generate money without an employer. And also there's a lot of other things that people don't think about, like, you know, healthcare. There's so many options out there. Just kind of don't ask the question. Yeah, just don't ask the question and leave it an unknown. Like, look up, ask other people what they've been doing, like that were successful at stuff like that. And yeah, see what they did. And then you could start forming the picture yourself, because you have to see it. You really have to see it. You just have to see yourself there before you go there.
I feel like there's like two parts to that. There's the do your homework, do the planning, figure it out, figure out what the steps are versus like, this is the end goal. Like, you got to get there. You got to figure out those steps, right? So there's that piece. And then I feel like your other piece of advice is like, just try, just do something. And if it doesn't work, iterate, try it a different way, get to the point in which something works for you that's within your space, right? That is valuable to others and obviously to yourself.
Yeah. And make sure you're in a good position too. And like you,
like,
you
financially,
know, you, well, you, in your head, I guess you could say,
okay,
you know, there's always that you have to work on yourself first before you could help others, you know, you have to put on your mask, your oxygen mask on first before you help others. I love that, you know, make sure you have you taken care of and squared away, because without you, you're not going to be able to help other people.
Are you more of a shoot for the stars? Or are you more of a realistic goal setter?
I feel like I'm a balance. My business partner now, he really likes to shoot. When I met him, he was like, shoot for the stars. And I was more conservative, but then I've been more open to doing much more aggressive moves now, taking more risks now, and seeing if it works out. And if it doesn't, then we turn back, we plan, figure it out. And so I like to surround myself with people who have other kind of mentalities than I do, and I'll hear them out. and see if I'm like, maybe I should be more taking, maybe I should take more risks, or maybe I should, you know, go out there like in business and stuff like that. So really law enforcement has like taught me to just be more open to people and their ideas
and the differences that we all have that actually can be valuable. That whole diversity thing, it's kind of helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, I appreciate that you shared your story. I think, you know, so many people are afraid to pursue their passions because, like we talked about, you know, we grow up having this understanding that society expects certain things from us. I think by hearing your story that like you were in a more traditional type career and you found a way to go towards something that's always been a passion of yours as a kid. So I think people listening to this will get little pieces of your story and be like, you know what? I'm just going to try. What's the worst that will happen?
And being able to perceive what's going on now and pivoting as you go, like, will I always be here? No, I could pivot to other types of businesses or something like that.
Right.
But I want to make sure that it's something that I like to do. So don't be caught up in the plan that you have for yourself. Always be open and listening to what's going on and, open for change.
Yeah. You may have a plan and then life has another plan for you and you have to be willing to just kind of go for that ride. I think it's the perfect way to summarize what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you doing this, my friend. I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of people.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift. Candid conversations about the pivotal moments that change lives forever. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. For more information about how you can support the Life Shift podcast, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com. See you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.